Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
I'm going to Disney World.
And that will end this game.
The articles of impeachment did not charge an impeachable offense.
I don't think the American people wanted the president removed.
Re-elect Donald Trump in November. And fire Nancy Pelosi and Tlaib from being in charge of the House.
I think he's a communist. I mean, you know, look, I think of communism when I think of Bernie. How about those trees?
Nice. A little shout out from the coach last night post game. And what a comeback by those Chiefs.
Such a fun game.
It was just outstanding. In the fourth quarter. right. I had to leave my party early, and I missed one of the touchdowns. I had to get home and rewind the TV so I could see it. It was awful.
It was so much fun.
It was a good time.
It was a bit of a snooze fest and kind of nerve-wracking at the beginning. And then when you left your party and were on the road and I fell asleep, they started kicking it in.
It kind of came alive.
Yeah. I mean, it felt good going into the half tied. You know, it's just like, okay, it's, you know, basically start of a game. Third quarter, didn't go so well.
Right.
And this morning, Kansans everywhere are celebrating.
That's
so
right.
It's a good thing. We're
congratulations,
all,
people
today,
of Kansas.
We are all Kansans. Today, we're all Kansas Cityans, right? President took some grief for that last night with his tweet that he put out after the game.
Oh, and it was deserved.
Thanking the people of, congratulating the people of Kansas on their great victory.
It's dumb, but it's deserved.
You know, they've got a lot of fans in Kansas, though. Come on.
Sure.
You can't give him a pass on this, Mark. Come on.
Lead story on the Hill this morning. That the new president thanked people in Kansas for the Chiefs winning. What was he thinking? He's the leader of the free world. He should know. He should know better than that.
He should know everything.
Haters.
I mean, he should know absolutely everything.
He should.
Never make a mistake.
Never.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there is a Kansas City, Kansas. Stadium
covering
across.
You can't give him a pass. And they were, yes.
That's not
that
the right,
nothing
that's not
to
the
do
right
with
place. It was an inaccurate tweet.
Okay. It's okay to tease him about it.
Okay.
Everyone makes mistakes.
All right. If he just put congratulations to the people of Kansas and Missouri, he would have had it covered. He did delete the tweet, but of course nothing ever goes away in media world. So it got captured, screen captured, and then the left went crazy.
But for those people who actually think
something.
It's a reflection of who he is as a person or a leader of the free world, you're also mistaken.
Silly. It's all silly.
Couldn't agree more. Let's celebrate a little bit with our friend Rodney Boyd, please. Rod is on the phone with us this morning. And how are you, my friend?
You know, I'm celebrating with everybody else, whether they're in Kansas or Missouri or wherever you may be.
Chiefs fans everywhere.
It was a great night for the Heartland last night. You know, it was just, you know, like you all said it. The Chiefs always make you wait till the end. They don't give you any comfort, and you got to watch the whole game. I think if they're known for anything going forward, it'll be you got to watch the whole game if you really want to see how exciting it can be for the Chiefs. But it was a great win last night.
Yeah, I thought, you know, that maybe they were overhyped and that people didn't give the 49ers enough respect. Certainly, the first three quarters, you would lead that conclusion. Or we're left with that conclusion, and then they just came alive about the time I was contemplating going to bed.
You know, it was last Monday we had in Jeff City the Stanley Cup, and there were several thousand people that came through the Capitol. And I remember people thinking, wouldn't it be amazing if in this year you had the Stanley Cup at one portion of the legislative session at the Capitol? And what would happen if you got the Lombardi Trophy later? Well, we're going to find that out. And that's just one of those exciting things that historically has never happened before, at least in one session or season. So it's an exciting time for the state from sort of east to west. We've got a lot to celebrate.
Wow. I'm sure that people might tune into things that are happening in Jeff City occasionally. I don't think the average listener pays as much attention as you or I do. But I've watched some talking heads this weekend talking about, I hate to keep bringing it up, but there's even an angry letter to the editor in the Post today about the vote on Clean Missouri. This thing's moving ahead. We're going to get to a vote on this in August, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. And last week, there was about an 11-hour debate in the Senate. If you really talk about the intensity, I mean, the debate went from 4 to almost 2 or 3 in the morning, and it didn't complete. It wasn't concluded. They'll bring it back up probably this week, and it'll come out of the Senate. This is going to go back on the ballot. Look, for those that wanted the ethical changes, those things are being tightened up. The how much you can give, the ban on lobbyist gifts, all those things are still there, even a little tighter. The challenge is the legislature and a number of folks had a huge, and leadership especially, had a huge problem with this demographer, this sort of sole drawer of the lines or boundaries, and that's going to be taken out if the voters approve it. The thing I think that people can, people who are frustrated, hey, why are we revisiting this? Is because there was a real concern that people did not understand what they were doing and what it meant. You talked about people not paying attention to Jeff City. Even fewer people pay attention to who draws the representative boundaries because it only happens every 10 years.
Yeah, very true. But last week, the Democrats tried to slow this down a little bit, didn't they, with a filibuster?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
It was, yeah.
The reason the debate went on for 11 hours was because of an organized and orchestrated Democratic filibuster, which will resume to some degree. So I imagine there'll be another lengthy debate with a filibuster on the other side of it. Ultimately, I think this gets out of the this resolution, SJR, gets out of the Senate, where there won't be the same kind of filibuster because the rules are different in the House. And once it gets to the House, and I believe it will, then it'll be forwarded on to the governor's office, not for signature, but for assignment on either the August or the November ballot.
Yeah.
And there's just a lot to it. I think this time people, look, Mark, you and I have talked about this. People didn't understand. If it goes back on the ballot, August or November, and the voters decide to reject this proposal, then they will be saying, hey, we want to give this demographer thing a chance. But it won't be obscured by a bunch of other things that make it feel like you're voting for something to do with ethics and not district drawing.
Yeah, true. Nick Schroer, our friend from out in St. Charles County, held a news conference the other day talking about legislation that he wants to get through that would effectively give the St. Louis Police Department the opportunity to go straight to Eric Schmidt's office, the attorney general's office, with crime cases and sort of circumvent the circuit attorney.
Yeah, I think the way I think Nick's bill, and there's a Senate version as well, is really designed is if there is a case that the circuit attorney's office does not want to prosecute for whatever reason, the law enforcement isn't DOA. Right now, if you are a police officer, you have a case, you want a warrant out, you take it to your local circuit attorney. And that's in all 114 counties, by the way. You take it to your local circuit attorney. They either issue or not. And that's usually the end of it. If they issue, the case goes forward. If they don't, it's over. And because of this sort of, you got a lawsuit between the city circuit attorney and the police department, there's this disconnect, this tension. So Schroer and others are saying, hey, for the police officers in the city, who are also in Jeff City taking up the residency issue at the request of the city, the mayor's office, let's give them the ability, if the circuit attorney's office rejects the case, to go straight to the attorney general. That's not normal. It's not unprecedented. There are a number of counties, by the way, where prosecutors don't have the experience, Mark, or the aptitude to handle cases. And in those counties, they bring the circuit attorney in their office as a special prosecutor. We'll see what the general census is on this in terms of the broader conversation. But Schroer is trying to give a line of access to prosecution that he believes, and a number of others believe, is closed off now because of the lack of a healthy working relationship between the circuit attorney's office and the St. Louis Police Department.
Yeah.
Police Department.
I'd say there's a lack of a working relationship. They don't seem to talk to each other very often.
Well, they don't talk to each other, Mark. It seems like unless it's through the context of legal action or suing or heated rhetoric, there's no healthy dialogue.
As I mentioned before, there's a case where the police union is being sued by the circuit attorney. I think that's unprecedented. I mean, I don't have any record of it. So it would seem that if you're suing the police agency or at least their representative union, that relationship is probably not a healthy functioning relationship on the day-to-day stuff.
Well, of course it's not. And, you know, fortunately, Rodney, and we're talking to Rodney Boyd, who hosts Insider Talk here on Sundays at the radio station. Fortunately, I mean, we've got a situation now where the U.S. attorney's office here in St. Louis has had to step in recently to prosecute a couple of carjackers because the city police, or the city prosecutor's office wouldn't do it.
I want to expand on that. The U.S. Attorney's Office is actually prosecuting, this may be surprising to your listeners, hundreds of cases, not just a couple, hundreds of cases that the role of the U.S. Attorney's Office in this region has probably never been more utilized at any time in our history for a lot of reasons. But I think it's somewhat unprecedented, the volume of cases that have a federal prosecution charge versus a state charge. And I don't think that that's going to change anytime soon. I have heard from some federal judges who feel like they're working harder now than they've ever had to work. And I'm not going to, join the pity party. But the fact is that the U.S. Attorney's Office, federal prosecutor and federal judges are handling a volume of cases in the St. Louis region, I think is unprecedented.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm glad they're doing it because the problem is there's a void and somebody needs to step in. Because there's still no question in my mind that the greatest deterrent to committing another crime is when you have some steel bars between you and your next victim. And that's what Kim Gardner doesn't seem to understand.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. The greatest deterrent for crime is conviction because you send a message that it's unacceptable. If you look around at the counties where crime is low, I mean, people just know I'm not going to go to St. Charles County or Warren County or whatever county where prosecution is aggressive. So people make a choice. Criminals make a choice to commit crimes in areas where they think they've got a better chance of not being convicted for whatever reason. So
yeah.
I think your point is well taken.
Yeah.
But it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. I mean, we've got a lot of issues that are going on in terms of public safety in Jeff City. I know people don't pay attention, but that is actually where more policy that affects your life is made on an annual basis than anywhere at any other level of government, federal or local. It's Jeff City. So I appreciate you for allowing that conversation to come on at least on a regular basis to give people the option to pay attention, I mean, to what's happening at the state house, because it's really going to impact you at your local house, whether you're paying attention to it or not. It's your choice.
Yeah, very true. Saw where Tashara Jones is making some fundraising moves as well as she gears up to run for mayor in the city.
Yeah, so for people who don't know, Tashara Jones is the city treasurer. She ran in a very crowded Democratic primary a couple of years ago. I think there were five elected officials, a total of seven or eight people. She lost to incumbent Mayor Prusin by 800 votes. The question that people have now is she going to be able to get in and have a more sort of a bilateral, even trilateral race, or will there be another six or seven people, which tends to serve incumbent well? But
yes.
She is gearing up. We saw a few weeks ago an alderwoman, Kara Spencer, who appeals to, I'm told, progressives and sort of liberal, millennial-type voters get in the race early before, formally get in. And there are other people that are thinking about getting in. There's always a conversation about President Board Alderman Lewis Reed, what's he going to do? And so, she is making moves. The challenge, I think, in a city, in the city of St. Louis, if you get four or five, elected officials in a race, that tends, I think, to err in favor of the incumbent.
Well, and speaking of incumbents, I can't remember, Rodney, when we talked last week, if I'd seen the poll yet, where Governor Parson is beating Nicole Galloway by 10 or 12 points in early polling, might have been more than that, would have beaten Eric Greitens in a primary, according to the polling that came out. He's in a pretty strong position.
Well, I just thought about this. I saw some of his posts from out in at the Super Bowl, and then winning. I mean, people get emotional. If the economy's good, if they're feeling good. Well, look, the election's in November. We still got a ways to go. But right now, a lot of Missourians are feeling pretty good about where the state is, where it's headed. The winning, all the other things that are happening doesn't certainly hurt him at all. And I think he's played it pretty safe. So I think he gets through this session pretty much intact. And I think there's going to be a very difficult chance to unseat him. If you also look at the polling that was recently done about where Missourians are, Republican voters are on President Trump, he's very strong in Missouri. And, you know, looking, we've got the Iowa caucus today, and it appears that Bernie Sanders may actually pull this thing off. And if he does, it's really going to be very difficult for the Democrats to put together the kind of ticket that's going to do anything of substance in Missouri. So all that, I think, bodes well for Governor Parson going into the next election cycle. Now, it's a long way. We don't know anything can happen down the road, but for now, he's looking pretty good.
Yeah, I would say. And that poll I saw also included Trump on the ballot, and it showed that he's still got a pretty strong, not as strong as Governor Parson's, but certainly pretty strong polling numbers in the state of Missouri.
He does. And then there's also, for the president, as you and I both know, the unpolled support.
Right.
There are a lot of people that just aren't going to tell you what they're going to do when it comes to President Trump. They're going to vote for him. So that unpolled support is why he was predicted in the last election to maybe win by, you know, 9 points, but he ends up winning by 19 in Missouri. Also, remember, this Wednesday, there's a high probability that the president's going to have an acquittal from the Senate in this impeachment. So here's the deal. The president's got a state of the state on Tuesday. He'll probably get, probably be an acquittal unless something real drastic changes in the next 40 hours. He's been acquittal on Wednesday. It'll be a big week for him, and he's going to carry that forward. And he's going to talk about why he thought he was railroaded, and a lot of people are going to nod and agree. So I think the polling is never going to tell you the full spectrum of where people are going to be. But if he's up in the polls, he's not going to go down in Missouri any less.
Well, I think it's a great point. And Rodney, listen, on a better subject than politics, how about the Super Bowl commercials last night? Did you have a favorite?
You know, I know some of them were way over my head, man. Some of them I just couldn't track. I mean, you know, I don't know. I mean, I kind of thought it was the Old Town Road was entertaining.
That was a good one.
Yeah, I thought that was, so if I had to pick a favorite, I think I'd probably say that was one of the more entertaining ones. Some of them were just, you know, I was just lost. Like,
Some of them, you want to say, did they really pay $5 or $6 million to get that on the air?
You know, what was amazing about last night was the battle between the president and Mike Bloomberg.
Yeah.
The money battle, $10 million apiece they spent for their ads. And I thought the president had some pretty compelling ads last night. The one where the woman was exonerated, that was compelling. So, I mean, I just, you know, it tells me that this race, this presidential race is going to be once again, we say this every 4 years, a record for the spend, just because you've got so much money at play now. But to see those two ads, the presidential battle last night was interesting to a politically minded guy like me.
Yeah. Do you think do you think it was just coincidence that they both used African American women to lead off their ads?
No, I think they both wanted to show that side of their candidacy for different reasons. But no, I don't think it was a coincidence at all. I mean, I think this is strategic. You know, Bloomberg hasn't gotten any real traction, right, as a Democratic candidate. In fact, I think many people for the first time last night realized he was even running. I think he could do a lot better job of articulating why he should be president other than Michael get it done, because a lot of people don't even show what he's trying to get done. but I think that he's got enough resources, and this is the thing that we saw last night. No other Democratic candidate ran an ad. Think about that.
Yeah.
No other candidate ran an ad during the Super Bowl except the guy that's the least known in terms of his candidacy. But I think it'll be very interesting to see how all this money plays out.
It's pretty telling. Rodney Boyd, thanks as always. We appreciate you.
All right, thank you.
Yes, sir. Sundays noon to 1 here, Insider Talk on 971 FM Talk. Hey, when we get back, we'll get your phone calls. Any thoughts on the impeachment vote on Wednesday? The State of the Union, the fact that there's going to be a caucus tonight taking place. We'll be right back.
baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Penalty of first down, first and goal, pass, open, touchdown, Kelce, Chiefs are back in it.
Yes, indeed. That made it 2016 there. And
I love some Travis Kelce.
Man alive. That was fantastic. Of course, the Chiefs go on to win. What is one of the headlines on Reuters? Native American advocates say change to the Chiefs' name and tradition overdue. So they're back at it. They want the Kansas City Chiefs to change their name because they find it offensive.
Okay.
So they called it the
why
culmination
is
of
offensive.
What's that?
Why is the?
I don't.
Why
know.
Are why is I just I don't know.
I can see the argument against Redskins. I think that the Chiefs thing is very silly.
Like, yeah, Chiefs and Braves. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think as an like an homage, like an honor to right. the history there, not a degrading thing. It's Chiefs Kingdom. It's you know, that's I don't know.
Nah, I'm with you. What in the world is the Chiefs mascot?
I don't have they changed it?
Oh,
I don't
know, like it's some weird animal thing with a big pointy nose and a big round belly. I could not figure out what it was.
I assume years ago they actually had somebody dress up like an Indian chief and they stopped doing that.
Well, they don't do that. This looks like some kind of like weasel, big bellied, I don't know what it is.
I think it's a wolf, isn't it?
I don't know.
Couldn't answer that. This story
came out trotting out. I was like, "What are you?"
This story says from their team name to their logo to their Arrowhead Stadium, the Kansas City Chiefs bear the name and iconography of Native Americans. With that, carry traditions that critics say draw on offensive and racist stereotypes. So the National Congress of American Indians. Wants them to change this because of the imagery of the warrior savage. I mean, if you've got a, like, I graduated from Miami University in Ohio, and years ago, after I graduated from there, they decided to change the name of the sports teams. And from Redskins to Red Hawks, and they did away with, just like Chief Illiniwek, we had a brave, like an Indian brave, was the mascot who would run around at games. And I guess I never understood. Like, our guy had the war paint or whatever drawn on his cheeks, so indeed he was a representation of a warrior. They named the team after him as a show of respect and to say that their sports teams, when they go to the field, are going to play like warriors. I mean, I never got the impression that it was any sort of a diss. In fact, at my college, the university is named after the Miami tribe of Indians who dominated that particular area in southern Ohio. That's who they named the school after. So when they came looking for a mascot, I guess the first thought they thought of, well, the school's named after the Indian tribe. Let's pick one of their warriors and make that the mascot. Not in this politically correct world. I just don't know why people have such a chip on their shoulder over that.
I'm confused about the imagery that they're talking about, because even just going through like a brief glance at the Chiefs website, there is nothing warrior-like or, I mean, they've got the Arrowhead logo. Mm-hmm. And that's about it.
And it is the mascot is a wolf. Mm. And it used to be, I believe they used to have like a Native American Indian. on a horse that was like part of, but that's been a very, very long time ago. But the wolf thing is in, I just read this, is in relation to a group of fans that kind of got a name as the Wolf Pack. And so it was kind of like a tribute back to this rowdy group of fans that were known as the Wolf Pack. And so it became the Casey Wolf.
Did you see a picture of him?
I mean, I saw him in person. I just could, for some reason, I was just like, oh, yeah, what is that thing? It's a wolf.
He's very silly. Yeah, He's a very silly wolf.
It's a very, funny looking wolf.
Here's what I admire. The Washington Redskins and the Kansas City Chiefs have both held firm. Now, Lamar Hunt passed away recently. His wife is still running the organization, right, for the Chiefs. Saw a picture of her on the field. Somebody told me she flew all 2,000 employees to the Super Bowl.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's cool.
But you got to wonder if it won't take, if it won't just be a matter of time till some of these older owners hand this off to their kids or end up selling
and
these
the
franchises till the political correctness works its way in. Mm-hmm. You see it coming. The Chiefs said in a written statement in response to this group that they engaged in meaningful discussions with a group compromised of individuals with diverse Native American backgrounds and experiences. Our goal has been to use our platform to create an awareness and understanding of Native American cultures, as well as celebrate the rich traditions of multiple tribes with a historic connection to our region. That's what the Chiefs, that's the statement they released on the whole thing. So,
yeah, I'd leave them alone. The Redskin thing, though, I don't think I'm particularly comfortable with. It doesn't sound right. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know what it, but if you're talking about the color of somebody's skin, is that what that's referring to?
I assume.
Yeah.
To me, that seems like it's the paint they wore on their face.
It's 2020. We probably shouldn't have teams named after the color of people's skin. I wouldn't really want to be part of the White Skins. So I think it's okay to adjust some of these things, but when you go so far as to completely whitewash history.
Or to say that it's being disrespectful, because that's obviously not the intention.
No.
So
hopefully there's no photos that still exist of me dressing in red face and going to a party when
I
went to school
there. I hope
that
as well, because I like my job and I'd like to keep it. So you just hide them photos, Mark.
Thank goodness there was no social media 30 years ago, right? Nothing in a yearbook that could ever prove that happened or didn't happen.
Polaroids can still come out, Mark.
Yeah, that's what every legislator in Virginia thought too, but
you're not surprised about that in some cases, like Chief Alinawick having to go away. I mean, I thought that was redonkulous, but they did it. Mm-hmm. I mean, they got rid of it, but I hopefully the Chiefs and these guys hold strong.
Yeah.
I went back and bought a throwback jersey the other day just to jab them a little bit. I refused to donate any money to the school after they changed the mascot and the name. Because I graduated from Miami University. They were the Redskins. They were still are in my mind.
And you can still buy a throwback jersey.
I got a throwback T-shirt with the mascot right on the front of it.
Way to stick
head
it
feathers
to it.
And all.
They still got their money out of Mark.
Well, I'm sure the university didn't get a dime out of it
because
they're all politically correct. It's just ridiculous. Let me get to John here on line one. John. Whoops, what did I do?
I don't know.
I think I pushed the wrong button.
Yeah, it's possible.
We're new here.
Oh, there it is. John, you're on the radio. What's on your mind?
Hi. Just listening to the discussion here. And is it the word chief an English word? Does everybody, or is that from some Native American language across the country?
I would imagine it's an English word describing somebody who's the...
A leader,
the head of something. Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
So they've appropriated the English word chief, taken it for their own, and they want us to not use it. Number two, there's fire chiefs and police chiefs. How long before they want to take that away?
I didn't think about that. Yeah.
Fire leader? Okay. What would we call them? Yeah, it's true. It's good. This is a good point.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a problem with the word.
All right. Thank you. I know Greg Brown out in Eureka prefers to be referred to as the all-powerful. But beyond that, I don't know what to say about
it.
He is kind of a big deal. I'm just kidding. All right, we'll get to a break. If you got comments on this, I'll get to your phone calls as well. 314-241-9797.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This, I mean, just to be frank, this sucks for the four Democratic senators that they can't be in Iowa for the Iowa caucus.
Yeah, that was Jake Tapper, who was talking last night about why the fuck. I never noticed how nasally that dude was until I hear some of his bites here these days. It's getting worse as he gets older, don't you think? I think so, personally. Anyway, I mean, I've noticed it more.
I'm just a grandmother.
The Trump doctrine is we're America, bitch.
To see? Well, poor Jake there. I'm just pointing that out. By the way, this is part of the problem.
He can't control his caucus.
The caucuses are tonight.
Yes.
And they all want to be out there campaigning, but guess where they are this morning? The United States Senate gavels in at 9 this morning and Eastern time. So they may be gaveling in here shortly. And Bernie and Lizzie and Amy are all going to be there in Washington this morning on the day of the caucuses. And they're going to be in session for like 4 hours this morning. And then they're going to get on airplanes, I'm sure, immediately and fly to Iowa to try to garner some last minute support in these caucuses. So it's been a real problem. It's been a barrier for them, particularly Klobuchar.
Hoping for a vote on Friday.
Yeah, you got to wonder. Yeah, of course. I bet they were. They're not going to verbalize that. To their crowd. You know, speaking of Klobuchar, Chris Wallace gave her valuable minutes on Fox News on Sunday. I'm not quite sure why, but he did kind of get tough with her. There's this allegation, she used to be a prosecutor, of some wrongful conviction of some kid who fired into a car, and the AP has done an investigation on it and found out there were witnesses who said it wasn't him and all this stuff. She's kind of taking some heat. Listen to the interaction that Wallace had with her yesterday when he tried to get her to admit that what she knew and when she knew it.
Senator, let me just say, we know it was a bad case. The question is whether this young man did it, and this AP investigation indicates that other people who were there said he didn't do it, and that some of the witnesses that were relied on were very questionable. You were the head prosecutor. Did you know? And if you didn't, shouldn't you have known?
There actually were two trials in this case, Chris. One was after I had left the office.
But he was convicted in the case when you were the prosecutor.
Shouldn't you have known? Like he was going to give her I guess she thought he was going to give her a free pass. I don't know. I thought that I don't think she's got a chance. And apparently, Chris Christie and George Stephanopoulos agree with me on something else, which is bad news for Keith Antone and the other Democrats. Go to cut 11.
I don't think there is any chance that Mike Bloomberg is the Democratic nominee.
And Stephanopoulos agreed with him. So they don't think you can spend $20, $30, $40, $50 billion even and buy a U.S. presidential nomination. Mm-hmm. We're all going to know tomorrow. The Democrat race will be narrowed down to about four people after these caucuses. So we'll see what happens. We'll be covering it for you. I got Jesse Jane Duff coming up, retired Marine Corps gunnery sergeant. She's going to tell us what the truth is in about 5 minutes here. And then Tom Ackerman at 8:35.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.